is Sportsfeld. It is, I tell you, Jake, it is a gorgeous, it's the first, I think the first truly beautiful, gorgeous day here today. I don't know about where, I don't know about you in Toronto, but
It's a little overcast now. It was nice the last few days though. It's hot. It's hot is what it is.
Beautiful 29 degrees here in the region.
Is it really? Goddamn.
Oh, yeah. Nothing but, there's no lakes or anything. It's just straight. There's no skyline. There's nothing. It's just buildings and the sky.
Hot AF.
Yeah, it's hot trees and the sun beating down. Beautiful day to be sitting outside and a beautiful day to be sitting inside recording yourself talking about sports.
It's what we do. It's what we do.
But it has been, I tell you, it has been a fun week to watch the Blue Jays play baseball.
The thing with the Toronto Blue Jays is that they might be good.
They might be very good.
I don't want to get ahead of it or ahead of myself with it yet because we've been burned before, and I would be remiss to mention that I've said on this show many times from the other side that the first 2 months of a baseball season don't matter. Right. However, they're good.
They're Nobody good else might is, be great. Is good either is the thing.
Yeah, they're good and they might be like last night really changed a lot of things in my mind.
Of course, Tuesday night, Hyunjin Ryu pitched 7 shutout innings. He was excellent throughout, and they kicked a snot out of the division-leading Boston Red Sox, who, I mean, really getting it done with smoke and mirrors, mostly.
There's the Blue a question. Jays there's
really
a question on this
hitting
in the,
their asses off lately.
There's a question on this in the mailbag, but it's super quick, so I'll just answer it now.
Okay.
Because we brought it up. The Red Sox are frauds.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that sometimes the, as you said, the first 2 months don't really matter. This sort of thing happens all the time. I don't think the Red Sox are that good of a team. Maybe, you know, the thing with the Blue Jays that gives me optimistic is that it doesn't seem like anything that is happening currently is especially, like, outlierish. You know what I mean? There's nothing happening that you're like, well, that's not going to continue. Like, Grichuk has already sort of had his spells where he's faded and looked great and looked like Randall Grichuk. Like, he's already having those waves. And same with Gurriel. Like, those guys are having those waves. But the top end, specifically the first four batters in the lineup right now with Semien, Bichette, Guerrero, and Teoscar, they've been able to absolutely, you know, continue being what they expected. And still haven't added George Springer. So, wow. Wow.
And I'm sure you saw there was the statistic going around yesterday that the Blue Jays have had the toughest schedule in Major League Baseball thus far. They have yet to play any games against the Baltimore Orioles. They have yet to play any games against the Detroit Tigers, I believe. They've yet to play any games. I guess we have played the Texas Rangers. But there are, to your point, there are a lot of not good teams in baseball right now, and the Blue Jays haven't played most of them, which yeah. I think is worth remembering. And the fact that they're 6 games above 500, the fact that they have a plus run differential, I know we've been doing this every week, it seems like, but just to continue the conversation from last week, they are, I believe, 5th or 6th in the majors in run differential. And to your point, they have done it all without literally George Springer.
Yeah, without George Springer and without really most of a functional bullpen and rotation. Like in terms of piecing that part of it together, you have to factor that in. Like that's probably why they're not even better than they are. I mean, it's easy to get optimistic about it. I mean, especially you go 6-1 in a week, it's easy to get optimistic. But man, all the signs are there that they could be really a problem. The lineup is a problem. It's
now
crazy.
Now that Semien's going and he's have just an unreal May. But when he's going, and now that Teoscar's back and seems to be sort of didn't take him long to find that rhythm. But now that he's found that rhythm, like that top of the lineup is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, it's amazing. And
Marcus Semien with a casual 183 OPS plus over the last 2 weeks.
It's crazy. They're crushing everything, and they're putting up runs in a hurry, which is nice. I think, we're coming off a big blowout win, and a masterful pitching performance, and a full, I would say, 2-3 weeks of like really excellent offensive games. Another big takeaway from that is like their ability to put up numbers by scoring just consistently versus, you know, I think a lot of the times, sometimes teams like this will get criticized for being home run reliant, but like the way they'll have innings where they drive in one and then they drive in two and then they drive in one, like they really build their games because they're just so dangerous and hitting
all over the park too. The, I don't know if you saw the graphic going around of the spray chart from last night, but it's like, it's the entire field. I know they had 18 hits, so it's easy to sort of show a large graphic, but just all over the place, and they're hitting it. And I think that's a good point. Like, there's a lot of talk in previous good Blue Jays teams and previous bad Blue Jays teams that it was always sort of success relied on one thing, whether that was home runs or pitching or what have you. But lately, and hopefully going forward, this Blue Jay team seems to be sort of well-rounded, let's say. I guess there's not one thing they're doing that's like, oh, okay, if they stop hitting home runs at X pace, then they're going to fall off.
Right.
Which is good.
It does bear mention that they are still also hitting a shitload of home runs.
Well, yes.
I do want to bring mention that there is also a ton of home runs going on. They're absolutely smashing the ball. They are, 57 home runs in 40 games, but they're they're first in the American League and fourth in all of baseball in most home runs hit. The team OPS plus is 106, which is like they're as a team they're hitting above average. It's a great feeling, and again you can also chalk that up to like having some really easily identifiable holes, which makes it really easy. And that's another part that makes it so exciting. If the marching plans on how to take a next step are just like add more pitching, it's like that's such a classic contender's blueprint, right? Is you just have to add another couple pitchers and make some small upgrades that make it, like we've already seen the difference that, you know, Santiago Espinal getting to play third makes defensively. It's like how many of those small upgrades can you make? And you look around the roster, it's like there's some pretty easy identifiable stuff for them to get into. Like there's left-handed depth, there's corner infield we talked about ad nauseum. It's you know, and the things they don't have to go and get, which is like a shortstop, because they have two, three really, if you want to count Espinal, which I think you can because he's a natural shortstop, and like outfielders, they have two guys that can play at center field. It's really a small list of things they need. Third baseman and maybe an upgrade behind the plate and some pitching. It's pretty simple, and that's a hugely exciting part of it.
I think what excites me about it, on that note, is you have. So we talked before the season of just be in contention when the deadline is happening.
I think that's given at this point. I know it's early,
what I mean. And so we had said that was sort of the, I don't want to say that was the hope, because obviously it's, being in contention at the trade deadline isn't an end goal for a team, but it does allow for interesting things. And I think we're seeing a team that will not only be in contention by the deadline, but will be perhaps leading things, whether that's division or wild card, but be in a very good spot come deadline. We've already played 40 games. We're 40 games in, so that's like another, 60 games till the deadline or so?
Yeah.
And so, you know, you play just above 500 ball those 60 games, and you're right, and you're, I don't know, 8-9 games above 500. If you go 35 and 25, say hypothetically, I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but
sure,
it's hard not to because it's fun. But if the Jays go 35 and 25, until the deadline, and I don't know if that's the exact number, but whatever, that's puts them at 48 and no, that's not good math. 35. That puts them at 58 and 42 at the deadline. So that would be a great spot to be in. And then, as you say, if it's just a matter of adding a starter, a bullpen arm, maybe an extra bat, now that we have seven prospects in the top 100 all of a sudden, and more down the pipe, they're all of a sudden we're pretty, I think the Blue Jays are very well set up, not just this year, but going forward.
It's a good time to be on board.
If the big problem is which prospects would you like to trade, that's a good spot to be in.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's not even mentioning, the fact that you have Pearson and Manoah. You're hoping to get some contributions from some young arms that internally as well. So there's depending on how optimistic you want to get here, you can get fully optimistic and be like, you're also, you know, the rotation need is to just to add somebody that rounds out Ryu, Ray, Manoah, Pearson, Mats. It's like that. Damn, you're starting to see it come together. And you're just like, damn, there's some. It's not crazy. It's not crazy. You feel not crazy, but.
And we'll be remiss if we do not say once again, adding literally George Springer.
Adding George Springer. That's right. Because Teoscar is the actual most important guy. I think that's.
Man, I will say this. You have been banging the Teoscar drum for as long as I can remember. And I'm not going to sit here and say I've ever been against Teoscar Hernandez. But I am coming around to your line of thinking. I do not think it is a coincidence that as soon as he entered the lineup again regularly, the team got significantly better.
Everybody just loves him. You can just tell. Like, I don't know how you can watch the team. Everybody there is like constantly laughing, hanging out with Teoscar Hernandez. It's constant every time he is shown. And one of my favorite things, he can, like, you know, listen, with the package, you get occasional defensive like lapses. It's sort of like his errors are always like comical in nature generally. He's playing so well that like he can make those, and like he just looks at the other guys and laughs, and they laugh at him because they're playing so well. Like that's the perks of being a great team, right? Is something that I've really enjoyed is like, if a ball is going to land foul, like Teoscar is generally like, it's not really my business. It's like, I love that about him. I love, he'll chase a ball down and then just like get to the foul line and be like, yeah, that's
not my problem. It's softball rules. What are you going to do? Die for it?
Well, there's fences. And like, he's here to rake, hit home runs. That's what he does. And he's got the speed tool. Don't forget.
94th percentile. Never forget.
Guy can move. He's got all the tools. No, it's been a pleasure to see him back. And we should always try to remember to hold 5 minutes of space to remember how incredible Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is. Can really never say it enough, but like, it's like legitimately, he's one of the best hitters in baseball. It's no longer like what a heater he's on.
So, yeah, the thing with Vlad is he is sort of breaking my brain with how I watch Toronto sports, I think. Because, like, other than, I guess, Kawhi, and I guess now, like, Austin, Toronto doesn't really have, like, those guys. And we've had this discussion, I think all year when Kawhi Leonard was a Raptor.
Right.
Of just like, you watch a guy who's like a top three player in the world. And Toronto doesn't really have those guys usually. And we've been lucky in the last few years that we've had some of them. You know, your Jovinkos, your Kawhis, your Austin Matthews's. And I don't know what it is. And I'm wondering if you can tell me, which is kind of where I want to go with this. Obviously, 2015 Josh Donaldson was bananas. Like, a ridiculous season. One of, if not the best Blue Jay seasons ever. But this feels different to me. Donaldson was a treat to watch every day in 2015, but it didn't feel like every one of his at-bats was like an event.
Mm.
And Vlad's due. And I'm not sure why. I don't know if it's because of the position. I don't know if it's because of the fact that, like, Donaldson was a guy on that team, not necessarily the guy. But, like, Vlad feels like something I have never experienced as a Blue Jay fan before.
Sure.
It's, or yeah. I have, not as an adult Blue Jay fan, I should say.
It's, I think part of it is like being able to literally witness growth in real time. Like, it's really like,
yeah,
it's palpable because we saw, and because, you know, he hasn't, it's not like it was before when, you know, a guy could debut and you, he's like, oh yeah, he's been in the league a couple of years now. Like, the moment Vladdy was at Triple A, we knew about it. And the moment he arrived here, we knew about his batting practice. Like, he's been watched in a different way. And because I think sort of it's a cheesy narrative arc, but I think the fact that he had that problem the first 2 years where it's like things didn't immediately go great, I think that sort of helped prepare everyone for like how incredible it is when this guy is fully locked in, of like
the one of our own argument kind of thing.
Right, yeah, now. Of just like, you know, the other last couple of years, the first 2 years, it was like people said he was disappointing, and maybe that's true because the hype was so big, but like, he was still pretty good, right? That's that sort of thing that we always get into, is like, he was basically an average player when you were expecting a superstar. And I think seeing how good he was when he was struggling, and now you see like what the idea of him being what he is right now extended over a full year, extended over multiple years, like, you can sort of see it. And you're also, he's young enough and still new enough at this that you can sort of build out, like, there's also a ton of room to go, as much as he also looks completely unstoppable right now and like impossible to get out. You're also able to convince yourself, it's like, he's going to pick up experience. He's going to get even better at zone control. Like, he's going to, this was the first year that he was like really focused on his diet and like his body, like, who knows what happens there. Like, so I think the fact that he's so young and at such an incredible stage of his career, and I think the casual brilliance of it, and I think this is something that maybe happens to Ohtani. I think it's a baseball thing in general, maybe, because I was going to say, I think Ohtani gets this a little bit too, where like, it's so phenomenal that you almost can't process it.
Right.
It's just like, and like, his moments are huge too, right? Like, his home runs are absolute bombs, and they sound amazing and they look amazing, and he's a very unique look with his hair and his body type and he's the perfect package of like, just a real explosion of charisma and talent.
And like, I wonder if it's also a part of the like, because he was sort of, I don't want to say a disappointment, because I think that's wrong, but he wasn't maybe up to the hype in those first 2 years. And then we, as Blue Jays fans, sort of watched the Acuñas and the Ohtani, the Ohtanis and the Tatis Juniors be like the most fun guys. I'm being like, wow, we want that. And then now he is that. I wonder if that also sort of contributes.
Sure.
To just, like, the fun of having a capital G guy, you know, who's young.
Absolutely.
Who's your guy and all that.
Yeah. He could be the face of baseball. It's amazing. And again, part of it is the excitement of knowing that this is supposed to be just the start, and there's years to come of this. It's super exciting. It's crazy. It's like, it's so routine, and the way he hits opposite field home runs, or like the power that he generates every time he hits the ball. It's bananas. It's absolutely wild. I'm so transfixed by it. Like you said, like, it's appointment viewing. Man, every damn day. He's just incredible. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. It's just so fun. Like, I think we were saying, I don't even remember what game it was, because it's like a month ago now, but like, he was just coming up in a big spot, and he didn't get the hit for the win or whatever, but it was just like, having the guy come up in that spot is just so fun.
Yeah. Oh, there's a nice thing this year, and obviously it goes hand in hand with being a good team and playing well, but they are a fun team to watch, undeniably.
Yeah, and like, if nothing else, maybe, you know, they come down to earth a little bit. Maybe they don't make the sort of run that we hope or expect or whatever, but at least they're fun. And after few years, what more could you want?
Yeah, those young guys and Teoscar and Gurriel having a great time all the time, adding George Springer to that mix, I think it seems like a really fun, high vibes sort of time. So I'm pretty sold on, like, the sky is the limit for the team in general, and I'm getting dangerously close to, like, some pretty large predictions for this year as well. Because, you know, we'll talk about it on the other side. A friend of mine gave me some wisdom the other day, and I thought about it, and I was like, you know what? Maybe the push all in is closer than we think.
I don't know. I hope so.
I'll explain why.
Okay. Just a second.
So, as we know, the Blue Jays built for the future is sort of the thing that we get, right? The vibe is you have Vladdy, who is like 22, and Bo is 23, and you have these young guys who are incredible. I mean, Vladdy's, if he keeps up what he's doing now, he has to be in the MVP conversation, and it feels like he's about to be an all-star for the next 10 years in a row, right? That sort of seems where we are at. But, Jake, I pause at you this, and Nick Ashburn made this point to me on Blue Monday a couple weeks back, and I chewed on it for a couple weeks, and then the way they've played in the last, since then, basically, they've been, as you mentioned, I mean, they're already an easy 6 games over .500. You painted a pretty reasonable scenario where they end up 16 games over .500 going into the break. I'm not sure if you realized that, but yes, it's not that crazy. It is not that crazy. The thing is, with those young guys, again, 23, 22, George Springer's 31, Hyunjin Ryu's 34, Robbie Ray is 29, Teoscar Hernandez, 28, Randall Grichuk, 29, Marcus Semien, 30, obviously he's only on a one-year deal, but his point being that for some of the key guys on this team, not all of them, there is some win-now precedent. For example, you have to assume Ryu, this is about as good as he could possibly get. He's been unbelievable this year. This year, you hope for this next year. You don't know how far along the line you're going to get the top level Hyunjin Ryu. You know, Springer, another guy that, like, aging into it, you would assume is probably not the starting center fielder, you know, going, you know, mm-hmm. a few years down the line. Is this year and next year more of a push all in year than we originally thought?
It's interesting. I feel like that question is valid as it relates to the team. And I feel like it's hard to come to a sort of conclusion on it because of the farm system and how sort of one goes hand in hand with the other. That makes sense. Like, if they push all in with this core, they have to trade a bunch of prospects, which is fine. And then I guess the question becomes, does that just repeat sort of the last half decade, which, as much as we are fine with, we both know that's not how the front office operates, and that they are brought in specifically to avoid that. But
I guess the thing is, however, you have your core guys, like the first part of it, Bo and Vlad and that core aren't going anywhere. So it's the you know, other pieces that you're filtering in, you've identified those guys as the ones that are here 7 years, hopefully 10, hopefully 20, hopefully they retire, you know, and they're great. It's the finding pitchers or you know, landing a star shortstop in the next, you know what I mean? That sort of is mm-hmm. the...
Look, I am never going to sit here and argue against pushing all in and argue against trading prospects, because I think, especially when you have so many, as Blue Jays do, they would be doing a disservice to the current core and the current team to not push. I just hope that the front office agrees.
Yeah. And listen, you can take push all in however you want, right? You can take it to mean, will they pursue a rental in the next little bit, or will they make a huge signing again next offseason, right? That can be because you're looking
fair point.
At,
yeah,
it's either Semien coming back, or you have his $18 million then to again try to repeat the process on a middle infielder.
I personally would like to trade for Max Scherzer. And I'm just going to keep saying it until I'm manifesting this one. They should trade for Max Scherzer and Chris Bryant. And that should be what happens.
I mean, that's it's double rentals, right? It's just a bunch of money that comes right off the books.
Exactly.
You get Scherzer and Bryant the same week that you're allowed to have fans back in the building, basically, I think is the... And then just, the building just explodes when it reopens, basically.
All I'm saying is if you trade for Chris Bryant...
Get all that revenue back immediately.
The batting order becomes something like Springer, Bo, Bryant, Vlad, Teoscar, Semien. Who cares who the rest is? I'm just saying.
It's easy and fun. I love having a good team. It's so easy and fun to just be like, we should just take other good players.
Well, but the thing is...
It's true. That's how it works. We watch it every year.
It's how it works. And also, as we were saying in our first segment, like, most teams are bad.
Right.
There's no reason for bad teams to pay a bunch of money to players to just be there when they can get, you know, B-level prospects for them.
Right. I guess that's the other part of it is a part of the push all in is I sort of always try to remember it's like every year we see the trades and you're like, man, that's not a huge prospect haul for that guy. It seems like
yeah,
almost never does the like remember the Stroman was Richardson and Kay, which is like we'll see about Richardson. But Kay is like a guy that's like, maybe he'll be good one day.
Right.
Maybe he'll turn into a serviceable like you're not wincing when he's in the rotation guy. And maybe Woods Richardson in 2023 is part of a rotation, but Marcus Stroman's been very good for the last 2 years, right? That wasn't New York selling the farm on that. They just had the depth. So I don't know.
And I mean, even the David Price trade was Daniel Norris, Matt Boyd, and Jairo Laborte.
Yeah.
Like Matt Boyd is okay. And that's kind of it.
I think Daniel Norris is still at it. Is he still at it?
He is. I think he is. I was having this conversation the other day.
Detroit's a weird place to be playing right now.
He's still in Detroit. He's in the pen.
Well, yeah, 14 games, ERA just over 6. That's too bad.
But again, to your point, for literally half a season of David Price, you traded two guys, one guy who's in the pen with an ERA over 6, one guy who's currently on the Sioux City Explorers, and Matt Boyd, who is, like, good.
Yeah.
But he's not great. It's not like no one's like, oh, I can't believe we traded Matt Boyd.
Yeah. I can't wait, man, I'm ready to fast forward to like July on this team.
Oh, I know.
Like, let's see if they're, you know, if they somehow manage to be a dozen games over 500 and like are
July 30th.
Have their exact needs. I can't wait.
Trade deadline's July 30th.
So we leave. Listen, I always get wary of we just are having the same conversation about how much we like the Jays over and over again. I think this week was and especially like I think they've turned a corner in both of our minds to like a lot of the I don't know if I'm seeing this right that a lot of that is gone and they're doing it with no real rotation. The offense has so many weapons that it's really been impressive. The bullpen is hanging on by a thread, but you know they've been able to afford giving up some runs because they score so much is part of it.
And it sounds like arms are starting to make their way back.
Yeah. And again,
Thomas Hatch is getting closer. Pearson's obviously a big question mark. Who knows? I saw Castro through today. Merriweather should be soon.
Can always trade for pitching. There's always pitching.
Yeah.
So listen, it feels like they're in a good spot. I feel very pleased with my daily Jays games. We move forward. Speaking of exciting playoff action, the possible future of the Blue Jays, we have Maple Leafs Canadiens starting, well, this evening, I guess for people listening, it's on Thursday. It's Leafs Habs. We did a quick early temperature check last week. How was your attitude? As we get closer to puck drop, how has your attitude changed?
It hasn't, with a but.
Leafs are going to roll them. You know what I mean?
There's that. I was talking to some friends the other day, how, like, I think it's because of the pandemic and, like, we're not in bars and shit, but, like, the fact that the Maple Leafs start playoffs tomorrow isn't hitting me yet, but I'm positive that like at 1:34 of the first period tomorrow, I will be screaming to kill whoever's on the ice for the Habs. Like, I don't think it's gonna take long for me to get right into it. Especially because it's Montreal.
Yeah, sure.
Like, it's gonna be 2 seconds in and the blood's gonna be boiling. There's gonna be like a hit and there's gonna be some shit talking on the ice and it'll get my blood going and I'll be right there.
It's thrilling. I'm thrilled. You gotta love playoff hockey. I'm warming up. I'm warming up to this.
Yeah, me too. I have definitely felt the excitement sort of building under the surface throughout the week.
I mean, it's Leafs Habs at the end of the day, and other people. Listen, I see other people on my timeline watching games that aren't Maple Leafs in the playoffs so far. And hey, that's
sure
good for you guys.
It's a way to spend your time.
Absolutely. Listen, playoff hockey is a good time generally.
Yeah.
It's been too nice out for me to be watching playoff hockey. I've been watching regular season baseball. listen, I'm, you know, the other seasons became unimportant and the Jays season has become important. What can I do?
Yeah. And then the Leafs season gets important.
That's right.
Tomorrow. But am I going to watch non-Maple Leafs playoff hockey? Probably not.
No. Listen, quite frankly, no, we aren't. and I'm not going to feel guilty for that.
No, why would I?
Yeah, at least we're going to roll them. Listen, I think that's the only way to approach this, is that I think the Leafs are going to win handily, which seems foolish to say out loud.
Yeah, and, you know, as Leaf fans, there's always that sort of fear in the back of our minds of the worst possible timeline is the Maple Leafs have their best team in like literally 50 years.
They're so much better than the Canadiens though.
And then they like lose to the Habs in the first round, which would be, granted, would be terrible. However, the Maple Leafs are very, very good.
This whole thing this year is set up for the Leafs to make at least the Eastern Conference final.
Yeah,
like it's basically the league basically fix it in their favor so that would happen. Like it's pretty close to like they're not going to have it ever handed them on a platter like this ever again, no matter what, no matter how good they ever are again.
No chance.
There's no chance that they ever have the league be like, okay, basically, you got to beat the Canadiens and the Oilers.
On basically neutral ice.
Yeah,
with no crowd influence and just be a better team on paper than the other teams, which you are.
And completely ignore the salary cap because it's the playoffs. There's no playoff salary cap or something is what I need to understand what's going on.
I also understand. I saw something the other day that I think it was Marner had to rest because of cap considerations. And I didn't understand it, but I took it to mean that they are doing kind of whatever.
Yeah, I think Tampa had Kucherov out the whole season for a salary cap thing. And then he jumped back in first game of the playoffs and scored. Whatever. Listen, the salary cap isn't real. The sooner you accept that, and it would be, I think.
What is the point of the Toronto Maple Leafs if they can't?
Yeah, what are we doing here? Salary cap. It would be, I think, anti-labor of us to support a salary cap? Question mark.
Yeah,
that seems right.
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
That seems right. That seems right. So I think there shouldn't be a salary cap. Personally.
Not in the sports where my teams have more money.
Yeah, which, listen, blatantly, the Leafs do have, Leafs and MLSE do have a lot of money.
Yes, very true.
I feel like there should be a Raptors thing, but there definitely is not, is there?
No, their season's over, and Masai sounded like he was a guy who wasn't going anywhere. I'll say that much.
Yeah.
I will say this. My only note on the Raptors is Masai had his presser this morning, which, of course, Blake tweeted well,
of course,
as did many others, but I'm always reading Blake first. And it certainly sounds like Masai is saying if the board gives him what he wants.
Mm.
And from what it sounds like, and this is just me, a very stupid person reading it, so I could be wrong, but if the board gives Masai what he wants, it all sounds very exciting to me.
Yeah.
And like, it's hard to not just hear Masai talk and be like, obviously, yes, forever, I'll follow you. But it sounds like he's a guy with big ambitions and big plans, which, I mean, like, obviously he is. It's Masai. But has a plan for the Raptors that involves spending a lot of money, which is usually a good thing for a sports team. So I am excited, and I hope that the board gives him whatever he wishes.
Yeah, you can only ever assume and speculate, but you have to assume the only thing he could want is to not have to answer to anybody for anything for
yep.
how he decides to run the team and build things.
And frankly, he shouldn't have to answer to anybody ever.
Yeah, listen, what else is he there to do other than what he's done? It's been unbelievable. I wish we had Blake that we could give some easy takeaways from the end of the season because, you know, at a different time, in a different time with a less exciting Blue Jays team and the Leafs not in the playoffs, scrambling for takeaways in a lost season is like second nature to me. Few things I enjoy more than convincing myself that a end of season performance when Jaylen Harris has 30 against a team that has nothing to play for, that's the good stuff.
Right.
But yeah, listen. We have. So what do you think of the rest of the NBA playoffs? I know you've given Portland your small allegiance, but is there anybody else that you're like? And I've already said that I obviously the Knicks going as far as they possibly can will be as funny as it possibly can be to me. Is there anything else NBA playoffs that you're sort of pulling for, hoping for, looking for?
I want the Clippers to lose as soon as possible.
Mm.
I was going to say I hope the Celtics lose quickly, but they're, like, in the play-in, which is crazy.
Yeah, the Celtics losing quickly is, like, so they're not good, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. The Sixers finding a way to blow it would be funny, I think. They're finally finished first. I thought I was going to, like, when it all happened at the beginning of the year, but I don't think I really care if the Nets go far or not.
Hmm.
I thought I was going to be like, no, they can't win, but I don't really care if the Nets win.
I was going to say, you sound like you have a lot of teams that you know you don't want to do well. So then what is your desired outcome, aside from Portland somehow winning the title without ever having a defensive stop?
I guess anyone but Philly, the Bucks, the Clippers, I think is kind of, or I guess the Celtics, but I don't expect that. So yeah, anybody but Philly, Milwaukee, or Clippers.
Yeah, I'm hoping for a chaotic champion. I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I think a 7-seed LeBron leading a 7-seed Lakers to a title would be great.
Oh, see, I was gonna say anything other than an LA team in the West. Any of those other champions would be like.
I'm fine with the Lakers because I'm fine with Marc Gasol getting another ring.
Right.
And I'm a big LeBron guy.
Sure, me too.
So I think with the all of the many LeBron narratives. Doing it with a lower-ranked team in the West would be really entertaining.
Right. And they're only because he was hurt for most of the year. They would have been a...
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
I'm sort of hoping that it's, like, one of those other Western teams. Just for the, like, different ways to build a team sort of way. Anything other than L.A. or Brooklyn. Either of the L.A.s or Brooklyn for me. Just because, like, those teams were all just, like, predicated on being... in the cities they're in and players being like, yeah I'll go there for no real reason.
From that note, you have to root for Phoenix.
Yeah. I don't mind. Phoenix sort of built it. They built it a good way and they got value on Chris Paul. They're going to have a tough one because they're going to have the 7 seed. So they have one of LA or the Warriors. We'll know that by the time this comes out, but yeah, it's interesting. I wish Jamal Murray had stayed healthy because Denver was like, they would look legit. And it was like, man, this could be like, this is how you do it, sort of that fear of always being in the middle that teams have. It's like you can survive that as long as you are smart with the way you build your team, and that would have been a real testament to that.
Yeah, I agree. Denver, I think actually, had Murray stayed in, Denver might have been my pick.
Anyway, he's hopefully rehabbing, and they're still amazing. Listen, Jokic is still unbelievable, but yeah, oh boy, playoff time, it's finally here, and then that'll all be done. And after all that gets handled, it'd be transaction season again for baseball. Oof.
And then it's just baseball, and everyone can
stop
wishing that we were focusing on something else.
I don't think anybody does that.
No, but if they were.
Yeah. And we'll have NBA draft. We'll have to talk for that.
Yeah, actual draft lottery look forward
to. I think there's a bunch of soccer this summer, this winter. Summer is too, isn't there?
Yeah, there's Euros start in less than a month. I think June 13th. yours begin?
Boy, oh boy. I feel like I should.
Maybe there will be an Olympics. Who knows?
I feel like I should have heard more about the Euros.
You're about to.
Okay.
Because all this club's domestic seasons end on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
So it'll pick up, like probably literally on Monday.
Who's winning all the leagues?
City won in England.
Oh yeah.
I think Inter won in Italy. And I know that Spain's very close right now.
Mm.
Going into the last game, Atletico is up on Real by 2 points.
Oh, awesome. Great. Thank you, Jake.
You're welcome.
City.
That's been soccer. I don't think they play each other in the last game because that would be really fun.
I had no idea City had won EPL.
Yeah, in a walk.
I guess I don't really follow any City fans. It's like the one team you never hear anybody talking
about.
It's
because they don't exist.
Yeah, it's like I know what happens to Manchester United. I know what happens to Arsenal. And I know what happens to Spurs.
I don't think I've ever actually met a City. I know they exist because they congregate at Opera Bobs, but I don't think they exist.
And I think Drew cheers for West Ham, and they overachieved, and it was like something.
Drew is a West Ham.
Anyway, that's all I know. But even then, it's like I'm not awake a lot of the time. Anyway, that's all that. That's the whole world of sports around the world, and a little preview of the summer. So we got all that taken care of. It's time to look forward for the recommendations of the week and answer your questions in the mailbag after this. We start out our recommendations with Jake, a certified music knower about her. He knows all about music. He listens to it. That's the key, he tells me. Jake, this week, what would you pick as your song of the week if you had to pick one?
If I had to pick one, I think I would pick Unyielding Conditioning by Fishbone. Obviously, I've been on a ska kick lately. Always on a ska kick. Fishbone, one of the best and most underappreciated of the ska bands that have been around for like 30 years. No other reason other than that. Fishbone are fucking dope. Go listen to Fishbone.
Match of the week, Jake. This weekend, one of the things that happens every so often happens where wrestling was extremely dumb. A match ended or was invaded. It was a lumberjack match, pardon me, which is classic match type where two guys or a team fights in the middle of the ring and the rest of the ring is surrounded by wrestlers. And when somebody is thrown out, the wrestlers get to like lay in beats and then throw the guy back into the ring. This Sunday at, I want to say it was Backlash, the Lumberjacks were undead zombies.
Why?
I don't know. I don't really know. I wasn't watching. Yeah. I had never really been watching the New York program in a very long time. So I don't really know why this happened. I don't really know what the payoff of it was, but one of those things where wrestling is so bad and dumb that you're just like, yeah, this is the shit for me. This is the, like, people are legitimately angry about how bad this segment is. Feed me that. So just a real disaster, bad lumberjack match with zombies.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Jake, television, movies, we love to watch them. What do you got this week? What have you been watching?
We have been watching Legendary.
Mm. Yeah, you tweeted about this.
Yeah, so it's, you know, like the balls on Drag Race?
Of course.
And they talk about Paris is burning and like those kind of balls.
Yes.
So this is a competitive show of that.
Mm.
So it's like just like dancing and runways in teams. And that's the whole show. And it's awesome. Huh. It's so good. It's just like crazy. All like the crazy cool, like, I don't know how to describe it. Like ballroom style dancing that they do on Drag Race that I didn't know the history of at all until I started watching this, and I was like, oh, there it is.
Hmm.
That's all the show is, and it's really cool, and they're all insanely talented, and it's just like a joy, and like there's not really like drama that much with it. It's just like shit talking and then going out and doing stuff, and they like vogue for their lives when they're about to be eliminated. It's great. Can't recommend it enough.
Awesome.
Great time.
Good pick. I was trying to think. We watched. We've been trying to find a movie that really connects. We watched Vice with with Christian Bale.
Oh yeah.
Dick Cheney. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. None of the stuff he did had any consequences. I'll tell you that much. pretty depressing one to watch in 2021. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like I guess this is funny, but like it's really not. Like this is just
like, oh yeah, I remember all that awful.
This is just the country getting fucked, and then at the end, you're like, well, I know what happens next. President. Anyway, bad. Yeah, I don't know. Nothing is really caught in the last little bit. I mean, I've been watching classic Simpsons. I don't think it's a breakthrough to tell you that coming on here and watching The Simpsons is an absolute win. But season four and five of The Simpsons has been on television, and it's hard to overstate how incredibly good the show is in its prime.
Yeah, I've been watching it as I fall asleep the last few weeks, and I'm just hitting the like end of season 9 where I'm getting pretty close to time to go to something else.
Mm.
But yeah, the prime era of Simpsons, I think still is unbeatable.
It's incredible how much I've enjoyed it. And like
the quality of the jokes and the writing and like the prime seasons it's one of those things like you don't watch for a while and you know in the back of your mind, and then you go back and watch, you're like, oh right, this is like amazing.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's really something. Again, not a surprise that I enjoy watching season 5 Simpsons, but it's what I've been doing with my time. What do you want from me? We move to the mailbag. First question comes from Garrett Swan. This one's for Jake. What's one song that Jake loves that might surprise people?
So I have two for this, with a caveat that like nothing people like should surprise people.
Right.
Guilty pleasures are dumb.
Right.
But to answer the question, the spirit of the question, I believe the way it's being asked. One is Starships by Nicki Minaj, which is like the most fun song that's ever been written. And I will hear no slander of it. And the other one is, I actually don't know what it's called. Cassie, what's the name of the Kacey Musgraves, Troy Sivan song? Do you know?
Easy.
It's called Easy. It's by Kacey Musgraves and Troy Sivan. I only like barely know who he is, but Kacey Musgraves is obviously Kacey Musgraves. And it's just like a pop song that's seemingly stuck in my head all the time. Hmm. But it's really good.
There you go. Michael Hode, if Manoah's debut was a good question. Listen, people aren't going to like this answer. If Manoah's...
I know your answer.
Not even a question. And I'm not even that big of a guy. Anyway, if Manoah's MLB debut and Leafs Habs Game 7 hypothetically happened simultaneously, which one would you watch?
My answer is a cop-out, and I would put one on the TV and one on the
computer. Sure. I would watch the Manoah debut.
So, look, I'll say this.
It could be this question could be if a Trent Thornton bullpen game.
I'll put it this way. If this were to happen and I only had one screen and I was forced to pick.
Right.
My actual answer is I would watch the first like 3 innings of
sure. Yeah, you could,
the Blue Jays first.
I've worked in sports media. I know how to watch both games. You get a taste. Yeah. You get a taste for how Manoah looks.
Exactly.
And you know, at least Habs Game 7 is only getting hotter, right? The back half of that. But I would.
And Manoah's not going to go more than 4 or 5 in his debut anyway.
Even if I was, truthfully, even if I was like totally enraptured by the Blue Jays game, I would be keeping tabs at the very least, on Twitter on the Leafs game. If it was getting spicy, I would flip over. You got to.
But also, like,
playoff hockey.
To this point, like, tomorrow, it's just like Jays Red Sox on a Thursday. Yes. And like, there's a pretty good chance the Jays game is getting more focused from the first
for sure
hour and a half of the Leafs game tomorrow.
James Nielsen, when making a sandwich or burger, do you put the condiments on the bread or the meat?
Bread. Absolutely. Yeah. Bread.
So you spread it into the bread.
Yeah. And who puts it on the meat? That's weird. It's
inexperience.
The meat is for like, toppings.
Yes.
Like if I'm having a burger, I'll put cheese and like a pickle on the meat.
Absolutely.
And then sauces on the bread.
Condiments. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think the use of the word condiments here may have been what foiled the question. Right? Because if they had said toppings, it would have been like, well, it depends.
Right. Yeah, but condiments always on the bread.
Agreed. But awesome. Are the Red Sox frauds? Absolutely. And cowards, yes, 100%. I would say.
Yeah. I don't know. Actually, no. You know what? Far be it from me to give them credit. I will say the Red Sox aren't cowards because they're playing above their station.
Ooh. Yeah, okay. Which is the definition of a fraud.
Yeah, but they are frauds because they are not as good as they seem, and they will not be. The AL East will not. They will not be in the race for the AL East, is what I will say.
Jays might win that handily.
Look, if the Blue Jays, all at this current part of our pandemic, so as to not be greedy, because I'm no saying like, oh, I hope the Jays come back to Toronto and the pandemic sort of ends and we get playoffs for real in Toronto and we win the World Series and everything. And like, obviously that's the ideal, but like to not be greedy at this point, I will just take a return to bars and a Blue Jays AL East clinching victory and then a Blue Jays 1 p.m. hangover game again.
Yeah.
Because that was the best.
Yeah. That was a dream. Ooh, here's a good one. Shift Evil, worst Toronto columnist.
Man.
It's Big Joe Warmington.
It's got to be Big Joe. It's Joe or Rosie.
What a piece of garbage.
See, I feel like
The Sun is a bad place.
The Sun is a bad place written. I feel like the Sun argument should also sort of extend to the Police argument should extend to the Sun. Like if there were good cops, they would quit.
Right.
Kind of thing. I feel like if you're a journalist at the Sun and you're not a piece of garbage, you should probably quit.
Yeah. Big Joe, and then yeah, I think you nailed it.
I feel like with Big Joe is such a like outward piece of trash,
right?
That it's like Rosie like hides it under what she thinks is good writing, even though it's the worst writing you've ever read in your life.
Yeah,
that's so fair. It's like an insidious evil, but yeah, Big Joe. It's got to be Big Joe.
Yeah. Josh McRae, is there a show that you got really invested in the early seasons, but you thought it was because you thought it was either edgy, funny, smart, only to realize in later seasons it was actually really bad all along? This person's answer was House of Cards.
I do and I don't. I don't because any show that I've had this experience with, I don't go back
right
and watch to confirm. But a show that I think about a lot because I loved the first few seasons so much and then hated the back half so much, but I've never gone back to it to see if it was actually bad, is Rescue Me.
Oh.
The Dennis Leary firefighter show. I sort of have this theory that like the first two seasons of that show, or like not even a theory, my opinion of it right now is that the first two seasons are like two of the best seasons of television ever, and then it got like unspeakably bad by the end. But I have no idea how it plays in a 2021 environment because the whole thing was like, I was in high school and I watched it. And it was like edgy and offensive. Sure. And it's just how guys talk. And I wonder if I watch it now, I'd be like, oh, I don't like any of you people.
Mm-hmm.
And my answer is probably. So I think that's probably my answer.
That or Shameless. Oh, yeah. We stopped watching that too. Sort of. So like, I get it. Things are not going well for this family. I think one for us would be Suits, where it's like we were never like super into it, but it was like, yeah, this show's fairly harmless. And then a season came out and like the characters were such bad caricatures of like who they were supposed to be that we were like, wait, was it always this like absolutely awful? And then we're like, let's not watch this anymore and not revisit our thoughts of the first couple seasons we saw. Listen, it had the former Duchess of Sussex in it, right?
That's right. And Jake Epstein.
So there you go. Yeah. So
the former Duchess and some guy.
Yeah. So
one show that I will say bucks that trend that we found out recently that I have sort of long assumed was Friends.
Mm.
Because I hate the last couple seasons of Friends a lot. But yeah, we recently did a rewatch of like the beginning of it.
It's crazy.
The first first two, three seasons of Friends is just first two. The first two seasons are amazing.
Yeah. It's on.
Especially the first.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I never liked the first season because it was like older and whatever. First season is wonderful now.
Yeah. It's on in this house all the time. Reese Ulbricht, is Shohei Ohtani the closest thing we've had to a Bo Jackson since Bo himself? Technically, he's not a two-sport superstar, but maybe we should be considering him as such. I think it's a decent comparison. I think it's almost impossible to talk too much about how unbelievable Shohei Ohtani is. We talked about it a little bit in the Vlad thing of like, he's almost so brilliant that it's hard to appreciate. I never thought I would see anything like what he's doing right now.
And I think that's exactly it. That's every time he comes up in conversation, I've never seen anything like this.
I never even considered it as like a real thing that could happen.
Like he has, his slugging percentage is three times higher than his ERA. I know that math doesn't totally work out, but like it's his slugging percentage. I know you know what I mean? Decimal places are wrong. I got you. He's got an ERA of 2 and a slugging percentage over 6.
Crazy.
Like it's what he's doing feels like it should be impossible. It's like what you create a player in a video game to do.
Yeah.
But like it's like you create a player in the NL who's a pitcher and you upped all his hitting stats and then you start him every day.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
I'm amazed. It's crazy. Because he's probably their best pitcher and without Trout, their best hitter. Like it's unbelievable.
Yeah, and I think what's cool though is kind of what you were saying earlier with Vlad about how we had sort of those two in big quotes down years with Vlad. And so this year it's like finally. And with Ohtani, like just the promise of Ohtani as a concept was so amazing when he showed up, and then injuries derailed things and it just didn't kind of happen. And then to see like the final form now, it was like something that was so hypothetical.
Yeah.
And then you see it and you're like, it's impossible.
Yeah. It's amazing. Paul B. Adam, if you could work in a promotion and relegation system to any of the big four sports, which one would it be? And which teams would you be most stoked to relegate?
You know, I feel like it works best in hockey.
Interesting.
I don't know why. Maybe it's because hockey and soccer are kind of similar games. But I feel like the relegation... It doesn't work in football.
No.
Because there's not enough games. And also, who cares? I don't think it works in... I guess basketball might be set up for it with the G League, but I don't know. Basketball is such a... I feel like basketball, you'd get into a lot of... the similar problems, not problems, but I think basketball would be the quickest to turn into what you see in England with soccer, which of having like a big six, so to speak. And I think it would all just sort of be like, you'd kind of know, but I feel like the randomness of hockey lends itself to like some upstart AHL team being better than like the Senators.
Okay. Okay. I see. For me, I think it's either baseball or basketball. I just think there are so many players. Is sort of the idea.
Yeah, and true.
With baseball rosters the way that they are, in terms of like guys not getting shots or getting guys retiring, you know, at 30 because no team wants to bother with that. I think, you know, if they could land in a Division II team and it was different than being on a AAA team and they had something to, you know, it would be difficult. You'd have to obviously do away with the minor league system for individual teams, and you would replace that with, like you see now in Europe, is they would basically, right, they would loan out their prospects to a lower team, right? Is the sort of the idea, is you would loan out Vladdy to a Division III when he was 19 and he would be too good. And like, okay, we're calling our loan and he's on the major league roster. Something like that, right, is how you'd have to do it. And basketball, I think, is in a similar spot where, like, there's so much talent now. Like, what O'Shea Brissett have? Did I see that right? O'Shea Brissett had, like, 30 points in the playing game yesterday. And, like, he's the guy that within a year was also like, yeah, he's a G League, like, tweener. It's like the guys there's so many guys now in the G League that come in and can play and make an impact. I think you have enough teams where, like, and you also, you know, this is a whole other bigger thing, is that you get rid of the draft and you have to get rid of all kinds of stuff, basically, to do this. But, you know, there'd be avenues for guys, and you know, they always wanted to have kids come out of high school. You're able to sign. I think there'd be enough good basketball players that you could carry three divisions and have it work. And you would also be able to, at that point, you know, no tanking, right? That's something about the tournament.
Right. There's no
tanking. So I think for me, it's baseball or basketball. Just there's so many good players now at that level. I think it's possible. And the teams that I would be stoked to relegate, Ottawa Senators in your example, for sure.
Yeah, I think
like Sens, you're not a good enough team. You're out of here.
They're just bad, and they bring nothing to it.
It would be nice to see like the Texas Rangers fight for their lives for relegation. You'd be like, are we even going to be a major league team? We buy this huge stadium, and maybe we lose our major league certification. That would be hilarious. Baltimore, wouldn't you have wanted Baltimore out of the league recently, or Detroit?
Oh yeah,
been like, hey guys, how about you try
the Rangers also being. The Rangers building that stupid building and being the Rangers and being relegated would be pretty amazing.
Good question, Paul. Frantic Phil, do you recall yourselves talking into the Blue Jays signing Chris Davis? Did I do that? I don't know if I did.
That feels familiar. I want to say it was in the. I want to say it was between 2015 and 2016. It was like to fill the Colabello hole that Smoke filled, and they were just like and he was immediately bad.
I mean, listen, I talk myself into guys. Constantly.
We talked yourself into Jay Bruce for like 3 years.
I tried very hard to continue to rationalize Derek Fisher being signed. I was excited about Socrates Brito's sprint speed. It's no problem.
Yeah, it would have been between 2015 and 2016 because he signed a 7-year $161 contract
in
January of 2016.
The one that I taught myself deep enough into thinking maybe there was a shot was I thought Prince Fielder was like a it wasn't crazy.
I remember going into the 2015 series and being terrified of him.
Yeah, I remember being like, man, if they can get Prince Fielder, that would be the guy. Yeah. Last one from Kelly Toomey. What would be the worst personal quality to believe you for years you had, and later find out nobody felt you did? Is it more devastating to find out you aren't actually smart, funny, kind, etc.?
I think it's got to be funny because that's like
for sure. For sure, it's funny.
Humor is my defense mechanism. If I found out that like it's never been funny,
yeah,
then like I've just been making an ass of myself for 30
and insulting
years.
People and like just generally, yeah,
100%.
People not thinking you're smart. It's like, yeah, I'm not. So makes sense. Obviously, I know I'm not smart. I guess that maybe that's his point. Is what if I thought I was smart for a long time? Luckily, hasn't come up.
Yeah,
I think it's definitely funny. Anyway, that is it. We will move forward. We'll close things out with the question we are asked constantly on the streets and in our chats, whether we are sad or not sad for another week. We close things out as we always do, as we always have, as we always will. It is sad or not sad for another week. Jake, I will let you take it away on this absolutely gorgeous Wednesday evening.
So I was going to come in with a not sad.
Okay.
Because I got vaccinated on Monday.
Love it.
Which is great and lovely. Very happy. Thank you to vaccine hunters for being way better at this than the government. And it's great. And I've had, other than a sore arm for a day, I had no side effects. So if you're on the fence for some fucking reason, go get a vaccine because they're great and they work and everything's fine. But I'm going to go with the sad because today, this is a Toronto podcast. And today in Toronto, while the Toronto police were trying to destroy a bunch of encampments in Liberty Village, it turned violent as the cops started assaulting people who showed up in solidarity to prevent homeless people being kicked out of their tents and encampments and all their shit and lives being destroyed. So just want to, as always, show solidarity with the encampments in Toronto and with the people who work tirelessly and wonderfully to protect the underprivileged people in our city, and also give just a nice hearty fuck you to the Toronto police and to Joe Cressy, who does nothing, and John Tory, who does even less somehow. And just say, fuck all those people and defund the police and support the Encampment Support Network in Toronto. Donate to them. Just keep an eye out when this happens in your area, because I'm sure it will. And yeah, that's all.
That doesn't sound like the Toronto police I know, Jake.
Such a level-headed
group. Are you sure? Police? Are you sure?
Yeah, I know. It's weird, right?
No. Wonderfully said. Wonderfully said. Yeah. Listen, I talked about this last week, but why not sad? I'm going not sad. We had our anniversary on the weekend. We went and bought some plants at a nursery, which is nice. My wife has been heavily converted into plant life. And then this Friday is what would be our third shot at a wedding day. Would have been Friday. But that's not happening either. So it is obviously sad to lose those things, but not sad. It was just nice to have a day with the wife on our anniversary. And it was obviously we didn't get to have a party or go anywhere. But we had a nice roast. And then the next day, of course, we went plant shopping and just spent the day together. And I'm very lucky that this could have gone a lot of ways over the course of being locked in a room with somebody for mm-hmm. 500 days straight. And I feel like I won the lottery with it. And, you know, the way that she's been able to accept and process and find optimism as these things we wanted to do keep getting canceled and keep getting, you know, keep not happening. These things that obviously you look forward to for so long, her ability to roll with the punches and come up with new ideas and new things to look forward to is, it's special, and I'm very lucky. So that's a not sad for me on this end. And that is it for us for another week. That is so much sports fun. If you were looking for a little bit more, there is mailbags every month on our Patreon, patreon.com/sportsfeld, as well as extra lookbacks where we go back and look at moments in Toronto sports and I guess Canada sports history when we were fans of, and things we weren't doing shows for, and relive those moments and go through what we were feeling, and you know, they're really well edited. They're a ton of fun to do. This month we are talking about Toronto FC, their run in 2015-2016, the MLS Cup runs, Montreal in the playoffs. It's really been fun, really great time, really enjoying that. You also get Blue Monday, which is a full Blue Jays podcast. Myself, I have guests, I talk to myself, I ramble. It's an hour every Monday about the week that was and the Blue Jays. You get to track my optimism as I slowly become a guy who believes they're going to win the American League pretty handily. I don't see how they don't win the AL, Jake. I'm holding this take in all day. I don't know how they don't win the American League. I don't know what stops them
White
from
Sox,
winning the
American League. White Sox are pretty good.
Oh, the White Sox. Tony La Russa, is that what we're talking about?
Oh, if we're gonna make the there's a lot of good arguments as to why the Blue Jays could win the American League. Managers aren't one of them.
Tony La Russa, a guy who I'm looking at least you can say what you will about Charlie. He's at least
he's not like a piece of garbage.
He at least manages in the 2020s. At least
that's fair.
Yes, the White Sox are pretty good. Good point. Anyway, regardless, Jays are going to win the American League. You heard it here first. That is it for another week. We thank you so much for listening to another episode of Sportsfeld.